Blog Talk Radio.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
has
been
declined. Your unemployment benefits ran out 2 weeks
what
ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
I still have checks left. Checks
2 weeks
left.
Ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Bad credit holding you back? Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast. You are listening to Hall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio for this Saturday, October 24th, 2009. We are broadcasting live from the Log Mahal in Payson, Arizona. It has been a while since we've been up here. And it is about 10 degrees chillier than it is in Phoenix right now. So, well, probably more than that. But on average, it's about 10 degrees chillier than it is in Phoenix. I am Heather Wagenhals, your hostess with the Financial Mostest. And this week, we have loads on in store for you with our third key into this new season, Dreams with Deadlines. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. And this Saturday and every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we broadcast the Unlock Your Wealth radio program and talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone, man, woman, and child alike, manage their finances and attitudes for the single purpose of achieving financial independence. Key word in that whole paragraph is attitude. What do we know about the little engine who could? If you think you can, you can. Remember, Henry Ford said to us, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're probably right. So attitude and perspective is everything, and we uncover all you need to know right here on this broadcast to help you become financially independent. One of the most fabulous things that we know about how the human brain works is that when you give it a task, it will accomplish it, positive or negative. So it's very important to keep your attitudes up and your thoughts positive so you can focus on bringing the right things to fruition in your life and forgetting about all of those wrong things. And one of the beauties of our fabulous brain that we learn through neurolinguistic programming is we have all the resources available to accomplish everything we desire in life already. But they just might not be arranged in a way that those resources are benefiting us right now. And thank goodness for this program and neurolinguistic programming, because we incorporate all of those techniques and to help you become financially independent and apply those things to you in your life. Today's show, again, is Dreams with Deadlines, and so we're going to have a fabulous show because this is where the fun starts. Okay, first we accepted that we may or may not know enough about money or that we may have already goofed up. Then we started affirming, working on that positivity and that attitude, we started affirming our abilities to accomplish financial independence. And then last week, we started assessing the mess that we may have created so we can create a healthy savings and spending plan as we get to the break the budget key. But this week is all about goal setting. And not just goal setting, because setting goals is easy for some, but how do we accomplish those? And this is the second half of last week's keys, to take action. So we are going to learn how to make effective goals and how we can successfully implement the steps to accomplish those goals, because goal setting, like I said, is easy. People have goals all the time, but if they're unclear or the path to get there is not clear, we'll never accomplish what we want to in this lifetime. And as we go through our nuts and bolts about the key, we also have our Unlock Your Wealth protege, Nikki Payne, coming on today to talk about where she is in the process of reclaiming her wealth and financial independence. Additionally, we have a fabulous guest on our Investor's Edge segment. We're going to talk about renting to own and how you can become a participant on a variety of sides of that spectrum. Now, in addition to that, we are going to talk about Minutes on Your Money. We have some great things coming up. We also have a trivia question. And this week's trivia question, like every week, is always based on something we've discussed on this show. So for the regular listeners, you have a chance to win fabulous prizes. But if you are a newbie to the show and want to figure out how you can create financial independence, and how you can win the trivia question, is simple. Get it beforehand so you can do some homework. As you know, in addition to broadcasting live, we are also available on iTunes as well as Blog Talk Radio for download later. So maybe you're not an early morning person, because we did move the show from 10 to 9. Maybe that doesn't work in your schedule. Or maybe you got to hurry up and get that lawn mowed but didn't want to miss this week's segment. No problem. Because you, again, can download later. And with that, if you get the trivia question beforehand, you can download the broadcast and with the trivia question in hand, listen to find the answer so you can win. One of the things that you can win, coaching from the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. How great to have your personal accountability and tutor to accomplish financial independence using the same concept that we teach here on the broadcast, but have it geared to you one-on-one. Additionally, we also have identity theft protection, which goes much further beyond just your credit report. So we have free identity theft protection for you, as well as the opportunity to have autographed books from our previous show guests. So it's pretty spectacular what we have here. And the way to get the trivia question beforehand is to subscribe to our e-zine. You can do that a few different ways. One, you can scroll down to the bottom of the show page if you were listening from Blog Talk Radio, type in your email, and wham, you'll be signed up. Additionally, you can send us an email at ezine@unlockyourwealth.com, or you can surf over to our website and go to our e-zine page and download e-zine directly, as well as subscribe from our subscription form on our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com, www.unlockyourwealth.com. Now, today's trivia question is, name one of the hidden banking fees we talked about last week. Name one of the hidden banking fees we talked about last week. Now, moving forward with Minutes on Your Money, and this is always kind of a great segment that we pull these trivia questions from. Oh, so to play the trivia question, I guess that would probably be helpful. You can chat in to win through our chat room from the show page. Surf over to Blog Talk Radio, friend the show, and then jump into the chat room. Karen Gurm, our fabulous show producer, is also our chat room moderator, and she will be happy to take your answers to see if you have won fabulous prizes. Or you can call in, and that call-in number is 1-718 1-708-508-9002. 1-708-508-9002. So you can call in to win, chat in to win, or if you're listening from a downloaded episode, you can always email us to win at answers@unlockyourwealth.com. Answers@unlockyourwealth.com. Because someone may not may get the correct answer during the broadcast, and so you can take and win directly from email. How great is that? So let's get to our minutes on your money. We have 5 secrets to smart debit card use. 5 secrets to smart debit card use. And this is by John Morrill. And it's from creditcards.com. He says, read the fine print, keep close track of purchases to avoid excess fees. It's estimated that by the year 2010, a whopping 40 billion customer transactions will be completed using debit cards. And that's 40 billion with a B, as in boy, and that's double the number from 2005. And recognizing the explosive growth, banks are working hard to make money off these new transactions. Thus, it is up to consumers to watch out for wayward fees that can make using a debit card an expensive proposition. And we talked about different hidden banking fees last week. So, number one, fee-free. Back in the day, a decade or so ago, it was not uncommon for banks to charge an annual fee for a debit card. However, in today's topsy-turvy but competitive environment, a free debit card linked to your checking and savings account, or both, is a given. Where you can find fees, however, is at the retailer's terminal or point of sale, as it is known in the financial industry. So when you go to use your check card or your debit card and you have to type in your PIN, they may have this other question. Do you want to pay a $1 convenience fee? Something you must pay attention to. Number two, big transactions clear first. Most banks clear your largest transactions first. However, this can cost you in expensive overdraft fees. So here's how it does. It says, if math isn't your strong suit and you generally add up your check card purchase at the end of the day, you go to the mall with $100 in your account and buy the following: a $5 copy, $6 picture frame, $65 sweater, $9 DVD, and $25 book, and you add up the receipts in the order you bought the items and find that the book you put you $10 in the hole and you're facing the prospect of one overdraft fee, think again. Because here's how they process the transactions, okay? They process the $65 sweater first, the $25 book second, then the $9 DVD, $6 picture frame, and $5 copy. Now, under this method, what happens is the situation becomes a little bit more tough than what you thought, because instead of just getting the one overdraft for the, oops, spent $10 more, you're going to get whacked too because of the way they process the transactions. And as a result, you know, these little $3 and $5 hits can wind up costing you anywhere from $25 to $35. I was just reviewing with one of our coaching clients some fees that they were paying, $35 for a debit card overdraft. So that $5 latte was actually $40. So is that nuts? 800%. 800% whack for that $5 coffee. So you just got to take and pay attention, folks. Current balance versus available balance. Now you got to pay attention to this, because you might think you have $100, but if you have cards processing transactions that haven't fully cleared yet, they've been approved but haven't fully cleared, you don't really have $100 left. So you need to pay attention to that, because that'll help keep you from going into your overdraft line. The next one, block your money before you spend it. These tactics can make it a nightmare to keep an accurate tally of what's in your account when you use your debit card for a hotel room or rental car. And it's common for them to block in a certain dollar amount on your card equal to one or two nights, or sometimes as much as $400 if you're renting a car. Now, it goes away from what your available amount is. Even if the hotel ends up only being a $135 purchase, they're going to block that just in case you raid the minibar and wipe it out. So they want to know that they've got the full transaction approved beforehand, and so now you can't get to that money. It ties it up. You know, so it's just like when you go to the gas pump. They whack your card $75 up front. They block that line, even though you might only pump, you know, $22 worth of gas. So that available amount doesn't become available again. And if it's blocked when other transactions are processing, it could potentially result in an overdraft even if you weren't overdrawn. And you got to be careful, because even if you have a credit line to back up that checking account, once you're over the line, you're over the line. And if you're prone to overdraft, you know, you're going to be spending so much money in fees just to have that luxury. It makes sense to only spend the cash that you have in your pocket, and when it's gone, it's gone. Or use credit cards, because those will keep your fees down, because a credit card will simply decline the transaction, where a debit card always, always approves them unless they take your line away. So that's something you need to pay attention to. And then next, from Yahoo Finance and Terry Luby, from CNNMoney.com, one of their senior writers say 7,000 unemployed Americans lose their lifeline every day. Another day, another 7,000 people run out of unemployment benefits. 1 month after the House passed a bill extending unemployment benefits, the issue is still being debated in the Senate. Democratic leaders in the Senate also introduced a bill 2 weeks ago to lengthen benefits in all states by 14 weeks. Those that live in states with unemployment greater than 8.5% would receive an additional 6 weeks. Senate Republicans want to add several amendments, including one that would pay for extra benefits with stimulus funds rather than by extending a federal unemployment tax. All I can say is this is getting ridiculous. While leaders in both parties are trying to negotiate a compromise, Senate Democrats Wednesday took a step to bring the bill to the floor as early as the end of next week. If it passes, the Senate legislation must then be reconciled with the House version, which means the two must say the same thing or close to the same thing to become law. And then it will extend benefits by 13 weeks in high unemployment states. The bickering, they say, has cost people like Crystal Jordan of Dorton, Illinois, a single mother of three that ran out in late September. She is one of the 1.3 million people set to lose their benefits before the year end if Congress doesn't act. According to the National Employment Law Project, which is an advocacy group, in October alone, more than 200,000 people will fall off the rolls. Lawmakers twice lengthened the time that people can receive checks to as much as 79 weeks, depending on the state. This is serious, folks. This is something that we really need to pay attention to, but we're having some challenges here, and it's not just with the economy. There's plenty of jobs out there, but what's going on is this denial that people are in, and it reminds me of the Chevy Chase vacation movies when his wife is talking to the to her cousin, and they're saying, well, you know, because Eddie is not working. And he's like, well, he's holding up for a management position. You know, I've been trying to hire for over a year now, and so at least maybe in my line of work that, you know, the good jobs that I'm offering above minimum wage and stuff that requires college educations, I can't seem to get people to even apply. And so I'm really wondering, is this, are our egos getting in the way and we're not taking jobs to start paying the bills and changing our lifestyle? Because we got to come out of denial sometime. You know, if things aren't getting better, they're not getting better. So you need to take steps to change that. And that might mean trading in that Mercedes for a Toyota for a while and having to take a step back in order to take a couple steps forward. So these are just some of the things that y'all need to be thinking about when it comes to unemployed Americans. While it's unfortunate that someone may have worked for a very long time somewhere else, If the game plan's got to change, the game plan's got to change. We have got so much more news, tips, tricks, and information, including our Investor's Edge segment, coming up next right here at Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Stay tuned for more right after this.
Has your cell phone or iPod ever run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Well, now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right now on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough in months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Hi, I'm Tony Stewart, driver of the number 14 Office Depot Old Spice Chevrolet, and you're listening to Heather Wagenhals on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Yeah, I am. Oh, you thought I wouldn't show up? You thought you could take your credit cards, live beyond your means, spend all you want, not budget a plan, and avoid me? I'm your worst nightmare, baby. Do you know who I am? My first name is Bad, last name is Debt. I promise you, I'm the one that you'll never forget, because I can turn your whole life.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. And is Mr. Bad Debt in your life today? Is he hanging out, making your life miserable? Well, not to worry. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your hostess with the financial mostess. And we are going to cure your debt woes and forever change your attitudes about money, finance, credit, and how to become financially independent. Now, for today's Investor's Edge segment, I'm so excited to welcome to the broadcast Rob Eisenstein. He has a very unique website that allows buyers on rent-to-own programs and sellers who want to participate in rent-to-own opportunities to meet without a real estate professional and they can get together and negotiate their own transactions. So they kind of circumvent the middleman, if you will. And you can do this on commercial properties, too, which is kind of interesting. And so I thought, wow, you know, with people that are going through foreclosure, they're having some bruised credit, and they can't rent an apartment because logistically there just aren't enough rooms, or they have, you know, pets or just things that would keep them from living in an apartment community, such as, you know, physical limitations where handicap compliance can't get them up to a second or third floor apartment, or they have to have particular equipment that maintains the care of an indigent parent, and sometimes you can't have those big oxygen tanks and things like that in an apartment because you can't get the right electricity to supply for those things. There's a myriad of reasons why people can't rent an apartment that were previously living in homes, but due to whatever their financial circumstances are, they're getting displaced. And so renting to own is an option for these folks. And I want to bring on today's guest to talk about that. Rob, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Heather, how are you?
I am very well, thank you. I'm so excited because your website is so interesting. How did you come up with the idea for this website?
Thanks, Heather. You know, back 7 or 8 years ago when the market was a lot more on the uptrend, we got involved, myself and a couple of friends got involved in buying some properties down in Florida and rehabbing them. And what we were going to do is turn around, and we were going to rent them out with an option to buy. We were basically going to hold on to the title until the tenant, prospective tenant, had the credit that would permit them to buy the property. So with those intentions in mind, we purchased them, we did the rehab, and when we turned around and tried to find the renter for the property, we could not locate anybody. We did not know where to go. There were people, believe it or not, who just wanted to rent without an option to buy. So what I had to do is I had to really, really dive in and do my homework. So it made me think to myself, there is really no place out there right now at that point in time that you could go to find a renter for your property, someone to rent to own your property. And at the same time, I'm sure that a lot of buyers are out there that we weren't putting our hands on that we're looking for homes as well. So out of that concept was born Home Run Homes, and we created the website with that in mind to help both buyers and sellers, just as you said, meet up and make contact and go forward from there.
Yeah, I like your website with www.lease2buy.com. I think that's so clever of an idea for a website. Now, if I am someone who is facing foreclosure, I need to get out. I need to be in a physical single family home situation or a townhome, something like that. And I want to be able to get into another property. I know I'm going to be stuck renting for a while, but I know that whatever caused my foreclosure is only a temporary thing. What can I find when I go to your website?
When you go to our website, the first thing you're going to do is you would want to go and you would want to see what homes are available for you at the present time. You would click on the homes available link. You would click on the state that you're looking for, and you could browse through what homes are available. When you see something of interest, you can look at the images. You can read a little bit about it that was written by the homeowner specifically. In some cases, they will mention the terms out up front, what they're looking to do, how many years, what the rent will be per month, and what the ultimate purchase price will be. However, if in the list of properties you don't locate what strikes you as interesting at that point, you can click on the seller rent, the find a rent to own link, and there you would basically list everything that you're looking for in a home, what you want to pay, how many bedrooms you need, any specific requests that you need, and you would basically place an ad, which is called a home wanted ad. And as the traffic on the site goes, you would be contacted by a seller that is looking to move a property if you match the needs that, you know, if you match the aspects of the property that they have.
Now, okay, let's say I have a slew of properties I've gone to rehab, and maybe I'm thinking about changing out my portfolio. Maybe, you know, I don't just want to be a landlord. Maybe I'm looking to liquidate some of these properties. How do I create a lease-to-own opportunity for someone who's looking for one?
Well, what you would basically do is firsthand you would look at each individual property. You would determine your price that you'd like to get after either 12 or 24 months. You would decide on the amount of rent to cover your mortgage, what they call PITI, which is your principal, your insurance, and your taxes on the property. You would want to cover over and above, and you would probably want to, in most cases, depending on what your actual physical mortgage is on the properties, come away above, slightly above, what your expenses are. And obviously your purchase price will be above what you paid for the property. Now, if you have a slew of properties, anything over two, you would click on the Sell Multiple Properties link on our website, and there it would permit you to list an abundant amount of properties that you have. And it would allow you to do it a lot quicker than doing them individually.
Now, typically when you use a real estate professional, the person who has the property that they are listing is usually the one that pays commission. So is there a fee if somebody wants to list their property, or do you spread your fees between the buyer or the rent-to-own buyer and the seller?
Well, it's basically paid by the buyer if they're placing a home wanted ad, or by the seller if they're placing their home as a home available ad. And they're very, in comparison to what you would think, the rates are extremely low. They run anywhere from, for 1 month, for $7.99. They can list them up to a year for $29.99, and there's a few options in between. But, and we have, and just as a tangent, there has actually been a lot of people listing properties for 12 months, as you can imagine right now, because of the way things are.
Yeah, $30 is a pretty simple fee.
Right,
now, does the seller and the buyer negotiate together, or how does that work? Do they use attorneys?
Right.
Once they make the connection, how does the process go from there?
See, now every state is different. To preface this, in rent-to-own is a broad term. Every location has their own terminology. For example, in Atlanta, it's lease purchase. In Portland, Oregon, it's lease option. I know in Arizona, they use rent-to-own a lot. But in general, okay, each state, the same way it uses different terminology for the actual process, they also, some states will use an attorney to mediate the actual contracts. Some of them will not even use an attorney, which it's always advisable to use an attorney or even an individual from a title company in a title state to assist you in looking and reviewing the paperwork and the documents for the contracts that are provided. Now, there are basic standard contracts. Now, a lease option or a rent-to-own is two contracts. It's the option, you know, the rental contract with the option to buy the property, and then there's always a writing sales contract along with it, obviously without the date on it, but it goes along with it because the price, the future price is, you know, filled and decided in advance. Whether the buyer exercises the option in advance to buy it, that's another story. But it is always advisable for them to use an attorney in order to go through the documents and give them the final nod.
Well, here in Arizona, the terminology is not synonymous. There is a difference between lease option and lease purchase. Lease option is at some point in the future you have the option to exercise and purchase the property. Lease purchase is there is a commitment to purchase the property at a specified price, at a specified date and time, and escrow is usually opened at a title company for that. So that's kind of the way that the transactions structure here.
Right.
And with a lease option, you pay an option fee,
And if you exercise the option, great. If you decide that you don't want to go forward, that's great too. And, you know, you paid for the privilege when you use an option. You're paying for the privilege to potentially purchase that property. And with an option, you can negotiate a predetermined price. Sometimes, depending on which direction the market is going, some folks specify a specific price and dollar amount, and other folks will do a percentage off of whatever the current market value is. I know that when I was going through my divorce some time ago, and I wanted to not be found, so I didn't want to take title on the property because I just kind of wanted to disappear for a while, but I still wanted to have a property. And I wrote it as a lease option just in case my life changed, that if I didn't want to exercise that option. But when the way the market was, I didn't want to, and this was pre the run-up, because I negotiated this in 2000, I think it was 3. So it was before we had anything, and I didn't want to, and I was speculating that I knew that something was going to happen in the marketplace because of what was going on with mortgages, but I didn't want to leave that market value to chance, and I was so glad that I did negotiate a specific price because before I even exercised my option, I was already in the money, $100,000 on that deal. So it played into my favor, and of course, when I did exercise the option and complete the purchase, my lender was super happy because I had all of this built-in equity that was there. So I was pretty excited about all of that.
Absolutely. So, you brought up a very important point there. That's two very important things that you brought up there. Number one, the option fee. Okay. More often than not, the option fee is a non-refundable fee that you're paying for the option to exercise the contract. And that option fee is normally applied towards your down payment.
Right.
So that's,
and you can structure it a variety of ways. That's, I guess, the beauty of all of this negotiation because, you know, buyer and seller can negotiate freely, and they can do that, you know, based on what the market is doing or what they think the market is doing, and both sides can work to protect themselves or create an interest. Like I got lucky when I did that, and just because I'm in real estate and a broker, that I had the foresight to nail that price down because I knew something was going to come along in the marketplace. And the guy that I was negotiating with was also a real estate person. He used to be the former tax assessor here. And so he was okay with it because, you know, I allowed him to lock in a 6% appreciation for a couple of years. You know, and I said, well, I'm not going over this price because I'm thinking that's just ridiculous. The house isn't worth it, you know. And sure enough, the market went nuts. I was like, holy smokes, I would have never guessed that the value would have ever gotten where it did. But it was a good thing that I did that. But, you know, in a declining market, you know, where you're speculating that the property values are going to go down, like if I bought a piece of commercial property this way, I would definitely buy it on a percentage of some future expected value. I wouldn't commit to a price today because I know that tomorrow it's going to be worth less because the commercial industry lags residential by a year or two. And
Absolutely. We
haven't seen the worst of what's going on in that marketplace. So if I was going to do a rent-to-own situation, I would structure my purchase price as a percentage of whatever the current market would be. And because I'm making that commitment now, I think the power lies in either whether you commit to a specific price for a particular property or you go with the percentage. The value is the buyer has a bit of negotiating power in that sense, and they shouldn't be afraid to ask for either of those scenarios, a percentage or, you know, on a future value or a specific value, because what that does for the seller is that gives him the confidence that he knows that at a certain point in time that this property is spoken for.
Right.
And if it's a lease purchase, he knows that it's going to close at some point in the future. If it's a lease option, he's already been paid that privilege. So if it doesn't close, he's not overly upset that he locked up the property for a couple of years with the intent of selling it, because he's already been paid.
It's like I always say, Heather, rent-to-own is like a box of chocolates. Whatever you pick, you're going to grab a chocolate out of the box. Either way, you're going to come up with a good deal, as long as you negotiate it to specifically suit your needs. And the seller is amenable to that, then you can work out a fantastic deal.
Now, does your website have guidelines to kind of advise or kind of coach people on the different things that they need to be thinking about?
Well, we are kind of a few steps away from actually consulting or providing advice on how to close a specific deal, because every deal is different and every state is different, and the rules are different all across the board. But we have a basic guide on there with the guidelines and some secrets of rent-to-own, things that a buyer would need to remember when negotiating with a seller, and vice versa. And that's,
you have a book, don't you? On
right.
The
it's called Secrets of Rent-to-Own. It's on the website under the Rent-to-Own Secrets link.
Great. So that's a wonderful resource for people who aren't really familiar with the product. And, you know, because down payments are now really expensive these days, because of what's happened in lending, everybody's requiring money down. There's no more of these zero down things. This is a way for an individual or family to be able to create a down payment, so to speak, by either the option money that they put up and a combination of possible money every month with the rental payment that the seller is willing to set aside as a credit toward their closing costs. So sometimes people have to be forced into savings. They can't prodigiously save on their own, and this is a great way for them to accumulate the funds for a down payment, so when they go to actually purchase it, they'll have that money already in the transaction without having to figure out how do I come up with this already, because it's been a part of their rent payment.
Correct. That's one of the biggest benefits that people have, that they're actually forced into putting that money aside, and it's there, and they know it's there. But if the point in time comes when they're nearing the end or the expiration of their contract and they are unable to still get credit at that point for some reason or another, at that point, instead of completely foregoing their option money that they put down as a non-refundable amount, they would need to renegotiate with the seller at that point and say, hey, look, I've been here 12, 24, 36 months. I've paid you every month on time. I've taken care of the property. I've even done some upgrades here. I just need a little bit longer. Can you extend me another 6 months or 12 months? And I wouldn't see why, if you've done all of those things, the seller wouldn't agree with you.
Most sellers are reasonable.
Yes.
Most sellers are reasonable. Now, one of the things that I thought was kind of cool when I went to your website that I didn't expect to see is your commercial transactions. You have a commercial section for rent-to-own.
Yes. Towards the end of last year, we took a look and we saw that our residential market was in the downslide, and we knew that the commercial market was just on the brink of slowly deteriorating and collapsing as well. And with that, there were owners of these properties, buildings, offices, and stores that were in trouble or were inevitably going to be in trouble. So we set up the commercial property section to help them list their properties on a rent-to-own basis and help them open some additional avenues for them to get out from under their properties in advance. And it's become a very good thing, and we're glad we've done it, because we've heard some really good things from some people who've basically stated that nobody else was doing it, nobody else was helping us out, and it was a life raft that was thrown to them to help them.
I know. I think that's pretty exciting, because you wouldn't think about that. I mean, and my thoughts about that specifically are, there is no money in commercial lending for some types of properties. I had a commercial lender on a few weeks back, and he just said, certain properties, no dinero. not going to happen, not today, not tomorrow, not anytime soon for certain types of commercial properties. People can't get financing. They just can't do it. And so it's forcing some of these owners to lose their properties. And so now you've created an opportunity where they don't have to. And I think that one of the things that people keep forgetting about what's going on in today's marketplace is, generally speaking, in our economy, is that, yes, unemployment is, what, 10, 12, whatever percent. They forget that there is the other side of the coin. That is minuscule, because that means that we have 80-something percent people employed. That's tremendous. You know, if you think about the Philippines, they've got 60% unemployment. So there are only four people in every 10 that actually have a job. So here we have 8 out of every 10 people that have a job. That's tremendous. And while some economies and some sectors aren't doing well, there are others that are doing famously.
That's right. That's right. And one other thing I wanted to point out to you, which plays into what you've mentioned, is with the sag in the residential market, you know, a lot of your realtors, as you well know, contractors, builders, went into a very, very difficult time. Things slowed up a lot for them. So we were also offering them an opportunity to give people a shout on the website and let them know, you know, I'm an attorney. I handle real estate transactions in New York, or I'm a contractor. I'm available for upgrades in Atlanta. And we have a home services section to assist that segment of the market. That those accompanying services that go along with real estate and the rent-to-own market in general.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty amazing to me. You know, I have a couple. I do a lot of commercial real estate in addition to the residential portfolio advising that we do with the concepts that we teach at our real estate company. And one of the things that I have seen in the marketplace is you've seen some of these commercial buildings that are more than half vacant, and they're being so unrealistic with their negotiations. I mean, we have walked away with one of my clients who has a phenomenal business. They have an incredible rate of return on their product. That, you know, their margins are huge. Their financials are so incredibly sound. They're not leveraged. And even with all of that, some of these building owners are asking for unrealistic guarantees and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm almost thinking it would be better for my clients to go in a rent-to-own situation where they control the property and they don't have to deal with any of that malarkey.
Yes. That's where we come in for that. That's what we saw. We were ahead of that, and we knew that this was going to be a huge problem. And you know, Heather, you alluded to it before. This is just the tip of the iceberg. That specific market, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, what an amazing resource that you have created. So if folks want to be able to buy your book, or they want to use it as a resource, either as a buyer or a seller, give us that website again.
Sure. It's lease, LEASE, the number 2, BUY.com, leasetobuy.com. And all the links are located there. However, if they were interested in the book, there's the rent-to-own secrets link. If they want to see what available properties there are, they would click homes available. To locate buyers for their home, they would click homes wanted. And to locate someone who's offering home services, they would click home services. Now, on the flip side of it, if they want to offer their home, they would click the seller rent-to-own link. To buy a home, they would click find a rent-to-own. And if they want to offer their services, they would click on offer a home service.
I think that's incredible, too, to be able to give, you know, these complementary industry partners an opportunity to market their services, too. That's a really neat idea. So if people wanted to get in touch with you directly, is there a phone number somebody can call you and say, hey, I have some more questions and want to interact with you personally? How can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. I can give my phone number, which will come direct here. It's area code 631-676-3609. And the email address would be homebuyer, HOMEBUYER, at least the number 2buy.com.
Great. Well, Rob, thanks so much for joining us on the broadcast today and taking time out of your weekend to be a part of our show.
Thank you, Heather. It was a pleasure being with you.
Thanks so much.
And
for those of you that weren't able to capture Rob's website, as always, our previous guests that we have featured, you can find their information and links to all of their goodies at www.unlockyourwealth.com. Now, moving forward to our next segment, as always.
Tell me.
Yes, it is that ever-popular time in today's show where we go for our Millionaire Minute. The Millionaire Minute segment is where we crawl into the heads of top millionaire thinkers and put out 60 seconds of tools you can incorporate into your life right now today. And our segment today features the Millionaire Next Door information. We have interesting statistics about millionaires. Only 19% of millionaires receive any income or wealth of any kind from a trust fund or an estate. Fewer than 20% of millionaires inherited 10% or more of their wealth. More than half of millionaires never received as much as a dollar in inheritance. Fewer than 25% ever received an act of kindness gift of $10,000 or more from parents, grandparents, or other relatives. 91% never received a gift as much as a dollar or a family business ownership opportunity. Nearly half never received any college tuition from their parents or other relatives. Fewer than 10% believe they will ever receive inheritance in the future. More than half of all of the millionaires today created their own wealth within their own single generation. The average millionaire next door works between 45 and 65 hours a week. Of those that are married, only 8% of their spouses work outside the home, and more than half of those that do are teachers. Interesting, interesting. America continues to hold great prospects for those who wish to accumulate wealth within one generation. In fact, America has always been a land of opportunity for those who believe in the fluid nature of our nation's social system and economy. This is a perfect opportunity for those, especially in today's economy, that can find a niche where you can take and find something that makes somebody's life easier or takes an existing product and makes it better. So think about these things. Fully and completely integrate these habits into your life now. See yourself in this way as a millionaire. Look forward into the future and watch how differently people will respond to you as a millionaire, and imagine yourself with one of these successes already. Create some affirmations with these tools as well to reinforce what you have just integrated into your personality. And that is your Millionaire Minute. We will be back with more Unlock Your Wealth Radio after this commercial break. Next up, that ever-popular, fabulous news correspondent and radio show producer Karen Gurm will be joining us with News by the Numbers. But first, let's take a listen to our show sponsors.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Duradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Duradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Duradori. Call Duradori now at 480-661-9662.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420, or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. No, it is not an Alfred Hitchcock mystery, how to become financially independent. You can become financially independent in 2 hours a week just by listening to the information from the show. What an exciting guest we just had about rent-to-own and how you can create rent-to-own opportunities on both sides of the fence in your life. But first, it's that time.
It's a need you gotta fill. It's news you gotta know. And news by the numbers is your favorite part of the show. Yeah!
Yes, it is that time again where our fabulously blonde, super intelligent, extremely articulate, vivacious, very entertaining, and super creative
Karen Gurm joins the broadcast. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Heather. Thanks for having me.
I am so glad you are a part of this week's broadcast.
Me too. I wish I had better news for you, but I don't this week.
What? What's going
Heather,
on in the marketplace?
The Dow fell again by 109 this week as the stocks drop for another week. Fabulous earnings from Amazon.com and better than expected earnings from software giant Microsoft couldn't lift stocks on Friday. In fact, the sell-off was big enough to shove the Dow Industrials below 10,000, a disappointing way to end the week. The Dow closed down 109 points, or 1.1%, to 9,972. The NASDAQ Composite Index was off 11 points, or 0.5%, to 2,154. And the Standard & Poor's 500 Index ended down 13 points, or 1.25%, to 1,080. For the week, the Dow was down about 0.2% with the S&P 500 off 0.7% and the NASDAQ off 0.1%. The losses for the indexes were the first decline after 2 weeks of gains. Next week continues the earnings season with more than 2,100 companies set to report, including oil giants on Wednesday, ExxonMobil, and on Thursday, Chevron, on October 30th. Microsoft up nearly 5.5% to $28.02, and Amazon.com up 26.8% to a record close of $118.49, gave some support to the NASDAQ on the NASDAQ 100 index, which tracks the largest NASDAQ stocks. The index was off 11 points to 1,754. Amazon reported a 68% profit increase for the third quarter and forecast a blowout fourth quarter. Amazon's enormous gain boosted the net worth of CEO Jeff Bezos, the sum of $2.36 billion. Amazon shares are up 129% this year. The fact is, however, that only 11 NASDAQ 100 stocks were higher, along with 588 of 2,748 NASDAQ stocks, and only two of the 30 Dow stocks, Microsoft and Hewlett-Packard, and 45 S&P 500 stocks were higher. Amazon.com was the best performer among S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100 stocks. And that is your News by the Numbers. I'm Karen Gurm.
Outstanding. Well, I mean, for Amazon, I love Amazon. I like their one-click ordering. I guess that's not probably so good for those people that have financial issues to make it even easier to spend money, but because I am a voracious reader, I kind of like that.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that insight into last week's stock market. I wish it was better for more than just Amazon, but for all of us. It'll be interesting to see who spends this year as we get closer to Christmas. Well, I am excited about this week's key. This week's key is dreams with deadlines. And I like this because this is kind of where we allow ourselves to get carried away with ourselves. And I want you to get carried away with yourself because lofty goals is part of the process. You know, my grandfather used to always say, if you shoot for the moon and miss, you can always settle on the stars. And the stars are still probably a lot further than if I would have just stayed within our individual hemisphere. And so I used to think about that. My grandfather used to always give me great lines and sayings to remember. And he would always say, you may not understand it, but always remember it, and someday you will. And someday, you know, would come, just like he said. And some days I wish he was here when those some days come, because I still see some of those phrases that haven't made sense yet, but all of a sudden start to. And I wish he was here that I could share when the profoundness of his comments are realized by me. But I'm so grateful to have had my grandpa. He was like my dad in that sense that he always gave me all of that great fatherly advice. And that was one of the things that he would always say about goal planning. You know, my mom tended to be a bit of a naysayer, and that's because she was stuck in one of those poverty mentalities, and she just wanted to get her kids raised, and she was recovering from breast cancer, and so she had all of these issues that she was dealing with. And then, you know, with my brother and I always wanting all sorts of things, just was a little bit too much for her to handle because of how she dealt with stuff. But my grandfather was always so good at keeping my brother and I inspired, and I was so grateful for it. And dreams with deadlines is so important because one of the things that was an interesting statistic that I heard was more people plan every single detail of their two-week vacations, yet never take a fraction of that time to plan their financial lives. Isn't that startling? It was disturbing to me when I first heard that, and I said, you've got to be kidding me. I can't fathom that. How can that possibly be true? And the more I talked to people and the more I got involved in financial services, I found out just how right they were. And it's, you know, I mean, it's hard, especially when you're young, to try to think about, well, what am I going to do in the future? I can't think about 20 minutes away, let alone 20 years away. And how do we address that? How do we deal with that? But today we're going to learn some specific techniques on how we can effectively goal set. But before we do, we need to check in with our Unlock Your Wealth protege, Nikki Payne. So, Nikki, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi.
How are you this Saturday?
I'm okay, hanging in there.
Are you feeling good, feeling better than you were?
A little bit, just still stressed out.
Well, we'll get through that. That's part of life. Something's going to stress us out. It's all in how we respond to it. That's the key, is keeping our attitudes in place. Now, last week we talked about take action, make assessments. So have you taken action to start collecting receipts?
Yeah, I have an envelope full of receipts, and I started working on a pitch for the magazine I wanted to write for.
Yay, I'm so excited. I know that it came over in the mail, and I know Karen was hard at work. So I'm so excited. You made a commitment last Saturday, and you fulfilled it. You took one step closer to not only realizing your personal dreams of writing for Self Magazine, for those who hadn't joined us last week, you have always wanted to be featured in a national magazine, and you decided to take action, and you and I over the air created a specific set of steps that we were going to take as soon as we got off the phone, and you did that. And how empowering was that? How did that feel once you started the process?
It made me feel accomplished.
Good. I'm so glad that you chose to start pursuing that, because that's not only just a personal dream for general well-being, but by accomplishing that dream of being published in a big-name magazine like that, it's also going to be able to help you get one step closer to becoming financially independent and wrapping your arms around what you got going on.
Yeah, and I actually got a client that I'm working with in my job, she actually offered me a freelance writing position writing for her because she thinks I'm a talented writer. So I have that going for me, too.
Yay. I'm so excited. So I know that when things get tough, it's always hard to keep our perspectives up, but are we working on our affirmations every week, every day?
Not as often as I should be. Whenever I'm driving in the car, though, I try and say, I am financially wealthy. I guess I do it once a day, actually. When I'm feeling sad, I'll just say, I am financially independent. I just say that to myself.
It's so important. We talk about it every week when we go through nuts and bolts, that we have to program our conscious and subconscious to accomplish our desires. And that's the one fabulous thing about the brain is it does not know how to fail. So whatever you think about, you bring about. And if you're thinking about doomsday, if you're thinking about being swallowed up in debt and never getting ahead, then by golly, your brain is going to accomplish that, and it's going to create these little patterns of self-destructive behavior to keep you impoverished. But if you kick that to the curb, if you start talking to that inner curmudgeon and using your affirmations, it'll work on that guy, and it'll say, hey, guess what? That is not for me. I am better than that, and I'm not going to allow that to be a part of my life. And how empowering and liberating that can be. Now, when you're driving, that's great. And when you get down, that's the perfect time to give ourselves that mental checkup from the neck up and start thinking about what we want to reprogram ourselves. And again, anytime we encounter negativity throughout the day, that's when we need to whip out that affirmation list and start reaffirming that, because sometimes people just enjoy making other people miserable. And so you want to make sure that if they try to plant that seed of doubt or that negativity in your head, that you just don't allow that to happen. And you do that by refocusing yourself and by saying, this is not going to be me, and I'm going to use my affirmations to find the me who I really want to be. I didn't mean to rhyme that much, but I'm not didn't even know it, huh? It's kind of funny. Well, we talked the other day and last week, and you've said it now twice on the air, and I wanted to start talking about your hatred of credit cards. And I wanted to explore a little bit, you know, you keep saying I hate credit cards and I just want to get rid of them. When you start talking about your credit cards, what do you mean when you say I hate credit cards?
I think that they ruined my life. I don't know. I don't like using money I don't have.
Mm-hmm. And how does that make you feel?
I don't really know. I don't really think about how I feel. I don't know, disempowered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how did the credit cards do that to you?
By putting me in debt. I actually called all three of my credit card companies in an effort to, well, three of the four, in an effort to reduce the interest rate, and only one of them was willing to negotiate with me, and that was the one with the highest interest at 30%. And they were able to lower it down to 9% for me.
Wow, that's a great step in the right direction.
Yeah, but the other two credit card companies, Wells Fargo, for instance, they're not willing to budge whatsoever. They didn't want to even hear anything. They just said, sorry, we can't do that. And Bank of America, they listened to me, and they said that I have, at 14%, I've got the best interest that they could give me. So I tried, and none
well,
of them
offered. Seem to, you know, everybody gets up on the wrong side of the bed, and Wells Fargo has a litany of problems, not just their credit cards, but they have a lot of problems in their home mortgage departments because they're not granting. I guess I should say I'm not surprised they're not working with you on your credit cards, because they're in a bit of a pickle themselves, because they're not doing these loan modifications that they should be doing for their mortgage customers, which is adjusting interest rates. And that's because they're trying to stay dug in because they need to make money, but they don't realize that part of something is better than all of nothing. And if people completely stop paying on their bills, they're not going to collect any interest rate regardless of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in their best interest to behave that way. But you know what? You might have just gotten somebody that got up on the wrong side of the bed. So you can just call back and try again and find another customer service person that might be a little bit more empathetic to you. So we can.
Yeah, Citibank, I got a really nice person. They're just like, oh, okay, let's help you. Like, they've always, in the past, when I didn't have a balance on the card and I tried closing out the card because of the interest rate, they've always been so helpful to me and addressing my needs. So I really like that about them.
That's good. And you know what? If you maintain the same payment that you've been paying on them, because when the interest goes down, then your payment will go down. because your balance will start to go down. But if you maintain that same high payment, now you're going to be able to whittle down that principal balance a little bit faster. So you can get
Guy had told me he could see that I was making consistent payments, that they were just coming a day or two late. Mm-hmm. But he was able to, he was still able to work with me, which I was really appreciative of.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to kind of explore this credit card thing just a little bit more here, because I think that there's a missing link here, and I'm trying to connect some dots here. Now, you mentioned that the credit cards, you know, you just said it again, that the credit cards made you go into debt. But how did the credit cards force you to go out and spend money?
I think what it was just my environment, wanting to fit in, and all the people I've always associated myself with always had money, or their parents were always helping them, and I never had my parents helping me. So I guess it was just my way of fitting in. I didn't want anyone to know that I didn't have as much money as they did.
I know that same feeling. I did that when I was in college. And consequently, I couldn't afford to continue to go to college when my mother got sick and I had to take care of her. And so I felt like, well, these other people have BMWs and nice clothes and cool stuff. I got sucked into that same thing, and I felt like there was something wrong with me because I wasn't born rich, and I didn't have all of the things that other people had. So I did the same thing, and I went out, and I said, well, you know, I felt entitled to the credit lines. I didn't understand that credit was a privilege. I felt like it was a right, that the banks owed me that money because I was born in the wrong income bracket. That's where I was. So I get that. So now that we're down the road a bit, and now that you're mentally consumed with all of this anxiety from trying to fit in, because now it's created a financial burden on you that is destroying your every waking moment, it seems.
Yeah, it sucks that, you know, people invite me out all the time, and I didn't even want to go out anymore because I don't want to deal with the temptation to spend money.
Mm-hmm. So,
and I want to be able to go. But it just, I don't have any fun when all my friends are spending money on drinks and stuff like that. And I want to be financially independent so I could have as much fun as they do. Mm-hmm. Without having to worry about financial burdens. And what perplexes me the most is that, you know, people try and relate to me. Oh, I'm going through the same problem, like, oh, I totally feel you, but I really don't think they understand, because they're not in as much debt as I am, and they didn't make the decisions I did in college with my student loans. And I think I really screwed myself up by getting student loans I really didn't need.
Mm-hmm.
But I psychologically, you know, talked myself and convinced myself that I needed these loans to survive, to pay room and board, to pay, you know, I was trying desperately to sustain a standard of living that I should never have had to begin with. And to digress from that standard of living is a really difficult thing for me to grasp.
It's tough. I totally understand. It's hard to take a step back. It's tough, you know, when you've been eating sirloin steak, and then all of a sudden you're lucky if you can have half a hamburger.
Yep.
Well, the beauty in all of this is you learn your lesson young enough that now we can actively work to change that. That's the one great thing about where you are is that we can make moves to change that. So let's talk about not wanting to go out with your friends. Do you think that there might be a way that you can go out and have fun without spending money?
If I make the right friends.
Is there a concern that your current set of friends won't accept you if you don't go out and spend money with them?
No, not really. It's just, I don't see myself as having the same interests as a lot of my friends. I feel like I'm in my own league or in my own world, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lot more career-oriented and career-driven, so it's like, I feel like I get judged for being a workaholic in a sense because I'd rather make money than spend money. And I always feel guilty going out when I should be working. And I think people can sense that sometimes.
Well, having friends that are supportive of your goals and being around like-minded people is essential. So would maybe shedding these friends that you have not be money associated, but just maybe that you're growing out of them?
Maybe. I mean, I don't really hang out with people as much anymore. I have one friend that I hang out with more than most.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's about it. And I want to continue hanging out with him because I believe that you are the sum of your five closest friends. And he's one of those people I'd like to keep in my life, if that's true.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay, so, well, let's think about one behavior right now that you would like to change. Let's think of one thing that you don't like, but, you know, I want to stop doing this, but I can't. Can we think of one thing that you'd like to change?
For the sake of finances and for the sake of my health, I don't want to eat fast food anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk to the person inside you, the part responsible for this physically detrimental behavior now. So will the part responsible for this behavior communicate with me now in consciousness?
Uh-huh.
Then, okay. So will you let me know what the positive intent and purpose has been of eating all of this fast food?
If I don't have any food or groceries, It's just if I don't have any food and it's all I have and I know I need to eat something, I'll go buy something from, like, the value menu at Taco Bell or something.
And what's the positive intent and purpose of that?
To make sure that I have bought food to fuel myself.
Mm-hmm. And so part responsible, what other ways can you satisfy your need to have food that would work at least as well or better than going to a fast food thing? Can you give me one thing that would be able to be an alternative to fast food?
Well, I try and go grocery shopping, like, at least once a week or just enough to hold me over for a week. Like, I have strawberries and carrots and apples and banana that I've been eating for the past week, and oatmeal, like things that are quick to make because I'm always on the go.
Mm-hmm. And so what other thing can you do that would give you that same positive intent and purpose of accomplishing nourishment in a healthy way that you could do instead of going and getting some fast food?
I don't know, go grocery shopping. What other way is there?
But more specifically, not just grocery shopping, but what other habits or things can you do to provide nourishment and be a part of the grocery shopping but keep you from going to fast food?
Cooking at home.
Very good, very good. So in addition to going grocery shopping and cooking at home, what one new thing could we also do to create nourishment that keeps us out of the fast food joints?
Exercise.
That would be better use. Very good, very good. So we can take and we can exercise that would help create endorphins, satiate hunger, and use the food that we do eat in a better way. We can go grocery shopping, which accomplishes our financial goals of maximizing our value for each dollar by buying quality food at a cheaper price, and then preparing home meals. But give me another thing that you can use or that you can do for yourself that would create the nourishment that you need and, you know, satisfy that quick fix of creating hunger but without going to fast food.
I don't really know. I mean, where else do you get food? If you can't eat out, you eat at home.
But there's a convenience factor that the fast food provides for you, correct?
Yeah.
So maybe what one new thing that could be quick and convenient but keep us out of the fast food drive-thrus?
I honestly don't know. I just keep food at work so that I don't have to go out for lunch.
That's great. That's a good thing. So now that we have these things, is there any part of you that would object to integrating all of these new choices?
No, because it's stuff that I'm trying to do already.
Okay. So are you willing to take responsibility to incorporate and integrate these new choices completely and fully now?
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's take a look at the future. And let's go into the future and see yourself, you know, cutting up all of the food in the kitchen for your snacks and bagging it up and taking it to work with you so you have that quick, convenient food. So how do you see yourself integrating these behaviors? You've integrated them now. How do you see yourself? Can you see yourself into the future? Can you look forward?
Yeah, I see myself living in my own apartment and cooking dinner for myself every day. And since I'd be living alone and, you know, cooking dinner, usually it's for more than one person, so I'd have leftovers to take with me to lunch the next day.
Great.
I actually enjoy cooking. I just don't have a stable residence right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now as you incorporate these new behaviors, how do other people respond to you at work or in other settings where you have this fabulously home-cooked meal? How do you see other people responding to you? Are they accepting of this new behavior?
Absolutely.
So do you see any reason why there wouldn't be any objections to integrating these new habits?
I don't see any reason for any objections. Anyone objects, well, they could go screw themselves.
Perfect. That's the right attitude. So take and integrate these new choices completely and fully now and see yourself in this way and move forward integrating these concepts. And so the next time we get hungry and we're driving around, our option is probably going to be what? Reaching to the next seat for our bag of almonds or some sort of snack? Can you
I try and keep stuff in the car with me, like fruits. I keep fruits in the car so I could just grab that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, let's talk about this week's key. This week's key is dreams with deadlines. And one of the things that we worked on a little bit last week to get you to take action on the one thing that's part of your dream, which is writing for Self Magazine, I want to satiate your palate now, and I want you to start thinking about all of the fabulous things that that you want your life to become. And I just want you to start thinking about how you want to be, the things that you want to have in your life, not just today or tomorrow or next week or next month, but I want you to think in 1 year, in 5 years, in 10 years, where do you want to be? And the reason why I'm asking you this question is because all of us have lofty goals. We all say, oh, I want to be a millionaire. Oh, I want to have a boat, and I want to be able to go sail around the world, and I want to see the world, and I want to be, you know, an astronaut, or I want to be a pilot, or there's a litany of things that we could do or be in our lifetimes. But the challenge that we have as goal setters that I started to illustrate earlier is that we spend more time planning our two-week vacation and every single thing that we're going to do all day long from the minute we get up to the minute we go to bed than we do in our entire financial lives. And what we have to do is we have to focus on not just creating these lofty goals, but how do we bring them to fruition? And first we have to identify what that goal is. Where do we go and where do we want to end up? So if I want to be a millionaire, do you realize that that's within your power right now today? It completely is. And all you have to do is to save a dollar a day. A dollar a day can make you a millionaire. It has to be focused, it has to be targeted, and it has to be simple. Something you can incorporate in your life every day, like a dollar a day. But who sets aside a dollar a day because it almost seems like it's too easy? And part of that is because we haven't really satiated our palate. Just like that vacation that we salivate for because we have planned it so extensively down to the most minute details, we have to do that with our big lofty goals. And we illustrated it that last week when Nikki, we went through all of the different things about creating your writing for Self Magazine. And we do that by not only identifying what that goal is, but we attach some specificity to it. And not only do we attach specificity, but we really get our knowledge base up about what it is that we want. And then we are going to flood those goals with emotions, okay? And we're going to attach sensories and experiences to what it's going to be like to have that goal in place. And just like we did a few minutes ago, as we took your new habits and integrated them, and then we looked forward into the future to see how others will be responding to us. Wow, you eat healthy. Wow, you look so good. Wow, you seem so relaxed. Well, getting proper nutrition is part of that. And we are able to satiate our goals with all of this emotion and energy and enthusiasm. So if we want to be a millionaire, it's completely and entirely within our control, okay? Now, what we do is we create these dreams and we make them vivid. We use color, we use emotion, we use sensory experiences to make that goal like we have to have it. It's when you think of that favorite food and then all of a sudden it triggers your salivary glands going and you can almost taste it if you close your eyes and relive the experience of eating it. So we have to create all of this emotion and specificity to these goals that we have, to these dreams, and then we have to make them into goals. And we do that by attaching a timeline. And we attach the timeline because then that allows us to create the map on how to get there. Okay? Now, if I say I want to be a millionaire, it's in my control. Now, if I attach a timeline of I want to be a millionaire by tonight, it's going to be a little bit difficult for me to achieve unless I already possess the winning lottery numbers for this week's lotto drawing. So that might not be super realistic. But if I said I want to be a millionaire in my lifetime, I can figure out that I can create that for myself. $1 a day when you're in your 20s will guarantee that you will retire a millionaire. $1, okay? You just wait 10 years, okay? You wait 10 years, and you're saving $1 a day, but somebody who is 30 has to save almost $6 a day to end up with the same amount of money that you're going to end up with at $1 a day. Isn't that amazing how time collapses, time frames, and the power of compound interest? It's that simple. But let's become a millionaire two ways. One, the easy way, by saving $1 a day. And then let's figure out some more creative ways. How can we create or collapse our time frames? Well, we do that by goal setting. And so now if I set my goal in my 20s to put $1 a day away, and I know that by the time I'm ready to retire in my 60s, I'm going to have $1 million. But what if I want to have more than $1 million? What if I want to have a different lifestyle? What if I want to have more of certain things? What if I want to be able to travel more, that maybe $1 million when I retire, because I have to live off that interest, so I have to make sure that I accumulate 10 times whatever I want to live off of, that I really, really create another stream of income. How can I do that? Well, by leveraging myself, using real estate as a tool to create that financial independence by having someone else build my wealth. Now we're starting to think and be creative. And it's very simple. If we create these dreams, these illustrations, these totally tangible realities we want to have, and we attach all of this emotion to it, and we make them extremely specific. I don't just want to be a millionaire, but I want to have $5 million in the bank. And I want to have it by the time I'm 50, because I want to be able to buy a 25-foot boat and I want to be able to sail in the Mediterranean islands. Now we're starting to create some imagery and some emotion, because you think about what it would be like to be sailing the ocean between the Greek Isles and maybe heading down to Italy or over to Morocco or the south of France. Now we're starting to really make our goals or our dreams so imaginable, so vivid, that now we have to have it. We're creating that fire in our belly. And now that we know what those are, because we've made them so intense and so vivid, that it's not just about having $1 million, but it's about having the freedom to be able to sail between the islands. Now we can attach timelines to make that happen. So if we know that we want those things, and that's going to take $1 million, how do we get there? Well, simply, we plan backwards to today. So if I know where I want to go, now I can write the map to get there, because I'm using my assessment key, take action, make assessment, so I know where I'm starting today. I know exactly where I am, and I know where I want to go. So it's very simple. It's like if I want to go to Los Angeles, and we talked about this last week, if I know I'm in Phoenix, I know there are a few different ways to get to Los Angeles. I could walk there. It's pretty slow. But I know that if I started heading west and if I walked along the Interstate 10 west, I would ultimately end up in L.A. This is our dollar a day to becoming a millionaire, by walking. But let's say I wanted to get to L.A. a little faster. Now I could take a bus, which will cost me probably less than $100 to take a bus ride. Or I could buy my own car and I could drive there myself. Or I could rent a car. That would be the next step. Or I could buy a car to get there. Or I could buy a plane ticket. Or I could buy my own plane. So now we know we have options and we can create our maps. And we can be anything that we want to be. We just have to create the timeline in order to get there. And so if I know that I want to have $1 million in 20 years, in 10 years I should probably have saved $500,000, right? because that's half of the way between here and there. You see how this goal setting works, how we can make this work if we start by the farthest out and work our way backwards? And we have to start the farthest out because we have to imagine our lives as if it was perfect in every way. If it was perfect in every way. And we have to be able to see ourselves there, not just having the goal, okay, not just wanting to have the boat to sail the Greek Isles or the motor coach to drive across the United States and Canada and Mexico and be able to live out of our own recreational vehicle to be able to go experience our country in a way that you can't when you fly. Because if you don't drive, you don't see the terrain. You're a mile up when you fly in an airplane. And if you want to be able to see it, you've got to see yourself now in this dream with a deadline. We've got to be able to create that imagery first. What is it? What does it look like? What does it smell like? What do I see when I'm there? Who am I with? How am I interacting? And then you have to put yourself in that position. It's got to be first person. It's got to be not just what am I doing in 20 years and seeing yourself there, because that's a future pace. Now that you've created this extremely vivid dream with all the colors and the smells and the tastes and the sounds, and the physical experiences. Now we have to take that movie that we've just been playing on the screen and we have to step in to that leading role. And we have to see ourselves in that role. Stand, don't just watch the boat sail by. Stand on the boat. Smell the salty air. Look around at how blue the water is. Feel the rise and fall of the boat against the waves. If your dream is to see our countryside from a motor coach, imagine yourself as the dashes along the road and the highway keep flipping by. See the beautiful landscape outside the windows of your motor coach as you're driving through this country. Imagine yourself stopping along the side of the road to take a photograph of a scenic mountain view. You see the fluffy clouds flowing by. You see the beautiful wildflowers along the road. You observe the wildlife. Be in that picture. Be around the other people that you want to be around. See yourself interacting with them. See how they interact with you as it's happening. Then take a step back. Get yourself out of the movie. Go back to seeing it on the screen. How does it feel now just watching it? Not as good as it probably felt in it. Now that you know how it feels to be in there, now you've got the hunger and the drive associated with getting back there. Just like if you want to have a new car, maybe a Mustang is your thing. You want a sports car or one of the new Camaros out there. Maybe it's a luxury sedan. You've always wanted to have a Mercedes. Go to the car dealership. Sit in the car. Smell the leather. Feel the steering wheel in the palm of your hand. Close your eyes and look through the windshield as if you're actually driving down the road, listening to the radio, experiencing the feel of the car along the road. And then when you get back out, you want to be back in. So we've got to create such an amount of imagery in our lives that we can't not get those dreams accomplished. And the way we accomplish our dreams is to put ourselves in them with so much sensory awareness and imagery that there's no way we can live our lives without them. And that coupled with our affirmations of believing we're already there, the brain can then set up the patterns for success to accomplish those things, because that's what you're focused on. Then the next thing we got to do is take those dreams and write them down. Make sure that they're so articulate and explicit to every last detail. For girls, it's the color of the fingernail polish you're wearing. That explicit. For guys, make it so tangible that you know what Corinthian leather feels like on your fanny as you slide into that new car or new truck or whatever it is that you want to do. It's got to be that specific. So, Nikki, are you thinking in those specific terms?
Yeah, kind of.
So tell me about one dream that you have, and we already did your Self magazine last week. So where do you see yourself in 20 years? Twice as old as what you are now, 500 times wiser than what you are now. Where are you and what are you doing in 20 years?
Honestly, in 20 years, I see myself as a novel-writing housewife.
Outstanding. And how many bedrooms does this house have?
I think it'll have 3 or 4 bedrooms. Definitely one of them will be like an office room for me and my husband, and one would be like a guest bedroom because I like to entertain people and play a host. And one for me, and then one for whoever my kid is.
Perfect. And how many kids are you going to have? Just one?
I'm going to start at one right now, but I might have 2 or 3. I haven't decided.
So in 20 years, we're probably going to have more bedrooms, probably.
Yeah, so right now I just want to focus on one.
Perfect. Okay, so in 20 years, we've got the husband. You're a famous novel writer. You've got a guest bedroom so I can come and hang out in 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And you've got the kid's bedroom. Is it a boy or a girl? What do you think you're going to have?
I want 2 kids. So we have to make it a 5-bedroom because I want a boy and a girl.
Outstanding.
I want them to be their own room.
Okay, so what color is the boy's room?
His room will probably be blue or green.
Nice. And what kind of things is he going to have on the wall?
I don't know.
Pictures of cars?
Probably. Whatever boy stuff likes. Whatever he wants, he gets.
Outstanding. And what color are you going to paint your daughter's room?
Oh, definitely pink.
Perfect, because she'll be the princess.
Absolutely.
I'm so excited. Okay, so now, is this home in the city, or is it kind of out in the sticks?
It's like in a suburban area.
Okay, nice. So you have a front yard and a backyard. Are you going to have a swimming pool or just grass?
I'm a swimming pool and a patio, like a barbecue patio area.
Great. And probably a swing set or some sort of jungle gym for the kids?
Probably.
Wonderful. So now that you're sitting in your office, the kids are at school, your husband is at work, what's the next novel you're working on?
The next novel will probably be, I don't even know what my first one's going to be. Like, right now, I want to write a memoir.
A memoir?
Yourself
or someone else?
About myself and my relationship with my mother and how it's affected my life.
Great. And probably some of the lessons you might have learned along the way?
Yeah.
So it can be a great teaching tool. So are you on the New York Times bestseller list?
Absolutely.
There we go. So now that we've created all of this fabulous imagery. This is a life that you can see yourself in, right?
Most definitely.
Great. So now all we have to do is back it up and figure out what our time frames are after we complete our assessment, and then we can systematically, over time, without disrupting our current lifestyle very much, start chipping away at the little things that we need to be able to create those things down the road. So we've still got a few weeks left on creating where our assessment is, but we've got some other things in the next few weeks that we're going to learn that will help us create that healthy savings and spending plan so we can get our finances in line to create all of these incredible dreams that we have for ourselves. So now that we have done this great imagery, what you need to do is grab a pencil and a piece of paper, and since you are a writer, I know that you're articulate, and you will be able to write down all of these things, this vivid imagery that we just created, to facilitate your desire to have to be in that picture. Okay? That's what we want to focus on. And so that is your task for this afternoon, is to sit around and think about the littlest things. What kind of a computer are you working on when you're writing this novel? Is it a laptop or is it a pimped-out desktop with two monitors? And what kind of a desk do we have? Do we have traditional furniture that maybe is old-world European or classic colonial? Or maybe we're kind of the modern minimalist look and we have maybe a glass desk. All of these things we're going to put down on paper and figure out where we are in our lives and where we want to be. And then once we associate all this imagery and we have to be in these goals, then we can take and start going planning backwards and figuring out, okay, well, where do I need to be in 10 years if this is my 20-year goal? And where do I need to be in 5 years? And where do I need to be in 3? And then in 2? And then 1? And where do I need to be in 6 months, 90 days, and then where do I need to be starting tomorrow to start getting where I want to go? And we're going to learn all of this stuff when we get to our break the budget key, because we have a few more things that we need to incorporate in ourselves to be able to get where we want to go. So let's get to the nuts and bolts of this week's key. This week's key is dreams with deadlines. And our key statement for this week is, I know that having lofty goals is not enough. I must be articulate and be clear about what I desire and when I desire to have it by, so I can effectively plan how to systematically accomplish those goals. Let's go back to our key statement. I know that having lofty goals is not enough. I must be articulate and be clear about what I desire and when I desire to have it by, so I can effectively plan how to systematically accomplish those goals. So grab your affirmation sheets, because we have one more affirmation to do. Add this to the bottom of your list of affirmations. I am great at planning specific goals. I am great at planning specific goals and taking action to achieve them. And taking action to achieve them. Now, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, The Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach us how to think like the rich and be in control of our own money, but also gives us specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming our current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And the way we apply our affirmations is this. The first time we say our affirmations to ourselves is right before we go to bed. We read them out loud. So we see it. We've already handwritten them down, kinesthetic learning process, visual learning process, seeing it, saying it, verbalizing it, and then hearing it auditorily. We say our affirmations, so we set our subconscious mind up for success. All night, our brain is going to focus on and figure out how to create new neural pathways to accomplish these goals, because we have set forth in motion that we believe that we are worthy of these goals. Then, when we wake up first thing in the morning, Nikki, we got to get back into the habit of saying our goals first thing, as soon as we wake up. So now, after this fabulous slumber that we've had, this productive, healthy, restful sleep where our brain has just done nothing but heal our bodies and distribute the nutrition we've taken in for the day, to focus now our conscious mind on our goals so it's right in front of our face. So we say our affirmations again out loud. And then every time, not just any, but every time, we encounter negativity throughout the day, whether it's from a colleague, a subordinate, a superior, a customer, a client, a supplier, our own kids, our parents, our spouses, our significant others, whomever tries to rain on your parade, you are not going to let the pity party set in. No, you're not. You're going to reach for that affirmation list. And every time you encounter negativity, you are not going to allow it to fester. It's like cancer. It gets in and then it just spreads like wildfire. And before you know it, you're having a pity party and you're totally down in the dumps. And nobody wants to be around people who are down in the dumps. So you are going to nip it in the bud and you are going to pull your affirmation sheet out and you're going to go through them again. We're going to delete all of that negative information because it's so hard to stay positive for 20 years. To get to our goals in 20 years. But we get there one day at a time, okay? We get there one day at a time, and that's why every day has to be that one day that you work on yourself and that you stay positive. Just for today, I'm going to be the most positive person I know, just for today. So that's how our affirmations work. So I'm so excited that we got to do this key this week, because this is all of the good stuff. This is how you make your dreams become reality, because you made concrete dreams. They're just not lofty goals. I just want to be a millionaire. No, I want to have $1,200,374.86. And I'm going to get there a dollar at a time. I'm going to get there $2 at a time. I'm going to get there $5 at a time. I am going to invent the next widget. I am going to create something in somebody's life that makes their life easier, and they'll want to pay me money for it. That's how we get there. I want to thank all of my guests, both our Unlock Your Wealth protege, Nikki, for joining us, Karen Gurm, our segment host and fabulous show producer, for yet another incredible broadcast, and Rob Eisenstein for joining us this week and talking about rent to own. We have more in store next week. Remember to tune in for our 30-minute update on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is your shot in the arm to create financial independence to hold you over till the end of the week, where you can get your full two-hour dose of what is super good for you and your finances. Thank you so much for joining us this week on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and we will chat with you again on Wednesday.
I've had it up to here, listening to a small segment of people trying to put down America. America's the greatest land on earth, and we ought to be proud of what we have. I'm proud of America. I'm proud of our people, and I'm going to prove it. We're American and damn proud.